You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Kind of a good news, bad news week for the Rangers, in that the good news is the Rangers are really good. The bad news, of course, that they had to say goodbye to a kind of a longtime player and a good guy in Prince Fielder, who announced his retirement. So let's talk about all of that. I'm Allison Switter here with T.R. Sullivan. T.R., you know, I'm watching this press conference, and it's impossible not to feel really sad for him. I mean, it was not only was it emotional, kids were crying, he was crying. He's also in this neck brace, which just, you know, it just really, it's kind of gut-wrenching to think that this is how it's ending. But it also drove home the point that quality of life and making sure that his next 40 years are safe in the neck area. I mean, this had to happen, right? I mean, he knew he could not play baseball anymore.
Well, yeah, Allison. I mean, the clinical thing is that he's had two surgeries on herniated discs in his neck. And I'm not a doctor, but I know you only have so many discs. You can't keep risking that. And, so really, he had no choice. I mean, you know, there's two things in play here to me. One is the guy had a great career. I mean, a fabulous career. Six-time All-Star, the home runs, played in the World Series, the playoffs. I mean, you can't feel bad for Prince Fielder because he had a fabulous career. I mean, anybody would have taken that career from the start. I mean, not everybody's going to be a Hall of Famer, you know, Jane Forbes Clark talks about it being only the top 1%. And, you know, you can't feel bad for Prince because of his career. But what you feel bad for is, you know, baseball is a team sport. And these guys are around each other every day, 10, 12 hours a day. They travel together 8 months out of the year. They draw close together. You know, it's a tight-knit group of guys. And, you know, the other thing about it is Prince brought his kids into that clubhouse. They loved being there. Prince loved them having them there. I mean, that part is sad. I mean, not necessarily the end of the career, but the end of the end of the relationships and the life and all the good things that Prince really enjoyed about it. And that's what makes Prince so special, is he wasn't really worried about the numbers or that. He was worried about winning. He was worried about his teammates. He was worried about his family. I mean, those were his top concerns, not, you know, whether he hit 40 home runs or drove in 100 RBIs. It was all about his team and his family, and that's why yesterday, as you said, was a really sad day.
Yes, when I talk to players who are recently retired, they say the thing that they miss more than anything is just the camaraderie. It's not the grind. It's not really trying to get through a season as much as it's just the built-in kind of fraternity that they have. I was just in Wichita. A bunch of major leaguers were playing in this college tournament, guys who hadn't played 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and I was asking them, you know, what's the best part of this? And they said just kind of hanging out, putting the uniform on, and having some laughs and talking baseball with teammates again. And so I guess that is something that they never really get over, right?
No, that's why it's, you know, again, it's a team sport. It's guys playing together, being around each other, and, you know, that more than anything. You know, the money's nice, obviously, and the glamour and the stats and all that. But, I mean, when you think about how much these guys spend together and what they go through, the great wins, the tough losses, you know, the nights on the road. It's a great thing for them that they just love, and that's the hard part to just really break away from, is just being around their teammates. I mean, these are their best friends. These are the guys they've been around for years, and it's hard on them.
Yeah, especially when they're so young. I mean, most of us, when we're in our early 30s, are just entering, you know, the steadiness of our careers, and they're facing it being over. So, so that's rough. Okay, so no more depressing talk about that. But good luck to Prince, and I think he will probably end up somewhere back in baseball, maybe as a coach or something. So we'll keep our eye on that. So the Rangers, though, now they're really good. And they have a 5-game winning streak going as we are talking. They've had a ton of come-from-behind wins. And most importantly, most significantly recently, that they've had a lot of contributions from Jonathan Lucroy and Carlos Beltran, who were the trade deadline acquisitions. So I'm sure everyone is very happy to see that this whole thing is coming together exactly as they envisioned it when they got those guys.
Yeah, you know, I've been doing this for 28 years, and this is the deepest offensive team I've ever seen. You know, they've got, I guess, what, 13 players on this team, and they're all very good offensive players. They all can contribute. I mean, no matter what part of that lineup you're in for a pitcher, you're going to face a tough at bat. I mean, when you got Elvis Andrus batting eighth or ninth, and this guy sitting came into the game, I think he's sitting like 296. I mean, that's an incredible lineup. So that really puts pressure on the pitcher. I mean, you know, you just can't. You're not at a point where you can cruise for two or three batters and just throw fastballs across the plate. You got to pitch, and you got to pitch, and you got to pitch, and that wears down the opposing team. I mean, no, we don't have nine Mike Trouts on this team, but we got nine very good offensive players on any given night that are really going to work the pitcher, take the walk, get the hit, move the lineup around. I mean, this is just an incredibly deep lineup, and I think what you're seeing here is the Rangers, when they went to the World Series in 2010 and 2011, they knew they had a very good starting lineup, but they weren't deep. I mean, they didn't have the bench that they do now. When you look at some of the guys they have coming off the bench, I mean, on a Thursday afternoon, they have sitting over on their bench Carlos Beltran, who didn't start. They got Delino DeShields, who didn't start. They got Jonathan LaCroix, who's getting the day off. And they got Drew Stubbs, who, you know, is a veteran player who's, you know, been a frontline center fielder. I mean, that's their bench on a Thursday afternoon. That's a pretty good baseball team right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that they're probably going to cruise to the division title. And really the most significant thing is that they appear to be able to tread water in the starting pitching area while waiting for some key players to get back. So Yu Darvish in his outing against the Astros, seven scoreless innings. I mean, I think that was probably not that he's had good performances since he has returned from injury, but that was probably the most, telling about that, the fact that he might be back to where they need him to be. That had to have been a big boost for everybody.
Yeah, listen, I think the most compelling story about the Rangers is how their starting rotation is going to evolve down the stretch and going into the playoffs. I mean, yeah, number one, Darvish is a big story because he's coming back from all his injuries, and he's, you know, the stuff is there, and now it's a matter of building up endurance and being able to go six or seven innings a night. Maybe that's number one. Then you got Colby Lewis and Derek Holland on the DL. You know, they're both supposed to come back at the end of August. I mean, that's a big story right there, where these guys will be at the end of August and end of September, and most importantly, when they go into the playoffs. I mean, you know, A.J. Griffin and Lucas Harrell are kind of holding up the back end of the rotation, and, you know, they're doing a fair job of doing that. But, you know, if you can get Colby Lewis back to where he was pitching before the injury, you know, we were talking about him going to the All-Star game. And, you know, we all know about Derek Holland. He's been hot and cold, and he's frustrated with the Rangers. But, you know, this guy is still capable of getting out a pretty good run at the end of the season. And, you know, if those two guys come back strong, you know, with the bullpen they have and the lineup they have, this is going to be a very good team going into the playoffs. But, I think, again, the most compelling story is where this rotation will be in September and October.
Yeah, it's definitely a resilient starting rotation. Probably, I mean, like you said, we'll have to wait and see. But for them to be this far ahead in the division race and have pitching that has been so inconsistent, that does speak to their depth overall. And, so I think good times are coming for the Rangers. So, TR, thank you so much, and we'll catch up with you next time.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.